Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. His program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
I'm so glad you tuned in today, and we have a wonderful day. The Bible says this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we're one day closer to the time when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back and setting up his kingdom in this world. Today we have a guest on our program, and I heard him speak recently, and I enjoyed what he had said, and of course I agreed with it, and so we have him here as our guest today. And I'm going to ask Pastor Alter, first of all, where is your church located?
We are Grace Baptist Church, and we're in Sydney, Ohio.
Okay. How long have you been pastor of the church?
14 years.
Well, that's really good. You must be okay then, because you've been there all that time. What caused you to get into the ministry? I mean, what led you? How did the Lord lead you to get into the ministry?
Well, I grew up in a pastor's home. My father was a church planter in New York and Connecticut. And honestly, I fought the call to preach from the time I was 16 until about 21. But I just couldn't get away from what God had called me and gifted me and created me to do.
Well, that's great. You know, I believe that's what we need is preachers that God has called. And, you know, I find working for the Lord's a blessing. You know, it has to be because you're working with the Lord. We're workers together with him. And so if we're doing what he wants us to do, we're going to be blessed, and God will use us to bless other people. Of course, our program is, we've been on about 3 or 4 years. I'm not even sure right now, but the program, the purpose is to uphold the Bible and the King James Bible in particular. So I'm going to ask you, how is it that you came to believe that the King James Bible is to be the authority?
Well, I was taught that way as a child. I'm 48 years old now. But when my father was teaching that subject, this battle hadn't really come to the fore. When I was a senior in high school, my father had moved from New York to Indiana, and I stayed in New York to finish my senior year of high school. And the church where I attended, the pastor made a great emphasis on the words of Scripture and that God had preserved his words in the English language. And so I began studying that. That would have been about 1979. And it's just grown since then.
Well, amen. That's really great. Can you give some of the reasons why that you believe the King James Bible then is the Word of God?
Well, first of all, because God promised that he would preserve his word. And it began to be translated as early as 150 for the Old Latin, 157 for the Syriac. And in every great society, God preserved his word in that language. And in the English language, when you see the power of that translation, when you see the way it's been used, when you see the consistency of the translation and the so many different issues, those all support the fact. But those aren't the reasons why I believe God's word has been preserved. I believe that he preserved his word because he told us he would in Psalm 12, 6 and 7. So based on the authority of God's word, I believe that it would be preserved. And then in Timothy, in the life of Timothy, Paul told him that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Well, sometimes people wonder what happened to the originals. If only the originals are the scriptures, then apparently Timothy's mother and grandmother had the originals. And I don't think that's the case. He probably had copies and probably translations. I know he had copies and probably translations of the originals. So I just believe that according to the Word of God, he would preserve his Word. And I do believe that he has preserved it in the English language in the King James Bible.
Well, amen. That's what we've been talking about for a while, and it's good to know that we really have a Bible. Do you have can you quote a few verses of Scripture that talk about the preservation?
Oh, yes. Psalm 12, 6, and then he goes on in verse 7, thou shalt keep them, O Lord, thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And then he says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And that's found in Psalm 119, verse 89. I love the verse that says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Psalm 119, 160. And then my life's verse that I chose when I was in fourth grade, Isaiah 40, verse 8, "The grass withereth and the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." God promised that he would preserve his word. He promised that it would be perfect and that it would be pure. And I just believe God.
Amen. You know, I think of another verse right now while you're quoting him. God says, "This is my covenant with Jacob." In Isaiah 59:21, it says, "The words I speak unto thee shall not depart out of thy mouth, or out of the mouth thy seed, or out of the mouth thy seed seed, from this generation forever." And so it says Israel will have the true words of God, you know, forever. And Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." It'd be easier for the sun to burn out and the universe to cease existing than to lose God's words. And that's
And I like the way that you just said that, God's words. You know, I believe that we have a real problem in broader Christianity today, in that people they consistently talk about God's word as if it's some big nebulous concept or idea, when the Bible makes it very clear he's talking about his words, plural, the very specific words. And I think that's an important distinction, and I appreciate the way that you said that.
Well, thank you. You know, the Bible says we can handle the word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We can look at the perfect word of God in the book of James, and it says the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. You know, so it's something that we can handle, we can look at, that the Bible says is true. And what do you think about these preachers that are correcting the King James Bible? I'd like to hear your comment on that.
Well, I think it's interesting. I was just in Lebanon about 3 weeks ago, the nation of Lebanon, Beirut, training pastors from all over the Middle East.
That's wonderful.
And these men were speaking in Arabic. And you know, I've written a book called Why Baptist, and that was translated into Arabic. And so we were teaching. Now, imagine if I spent a year, an hour a day, an hour or two a day for a year, and learned Arabic. And then I went to the great pieces of literature in the Arabic language and decided that I could correct those. That is the most ridiculous and silly and arrogant idea that I've ever heard in my life. I've studied English. My first major was secondary education, history and English. I've studied English for 30 years now, and I just learned something new about English today, after 30 years. So now you have a man who has a year or two of training in Greek, and he believes that he is now qualified to sit in judgment on God's word and correct the translation that God has used and blessed for 400 years. That's just the height of arrogance. Now, let me say this. I don't think it's in the pastor's mind to be arrogant when he does it. It's just what he was taught to do. And I think that that's a real dangerous thing in our Bible colleges and seminaries, where men believe that the Bible they hold in their hands needs to be corrected. That's a horrible position to be in.
You know, here's an amazing thing, too. Guys are writing commentaries, and from what I learned about, they hadn't even studied Greek or manuscript evidence, and they're in their commentaries, they're correcting the Bible. You know, that's you know, it's rather amazing when you think of it. And then you study the fellows that put out the King James translation, and they were speaking, writing, and reading Greek before they even went to college, a lot of them.
Well, you know, that is one of the key issues, I believe. You know, 400 years ago, the greatest minds in the world weren't building iPods. They weren't sending people up in the space shuttle. The greatest minds in the world weren't making x-ray machines. The greatest minds in the world were translating the Bible. And I think that that's where, imagine, you know, I'm a pastor. Technologically speaking, I can type. That's all I can do. Imagine me going to Apple or going to Bill Gates and talking to those men and telling them that they're not designing computers properly. It would be a silly thing to do. The greatest minds in the world, when your Bible was translated, when my Bible was translated, they were working on the King James Bible. And it's a pretty arrogant thing for a guy with, you know, very limited education to think that he knows better what the text would be. A second issue along with that, that I think is very important, are these lexicographers, the men who would write the lexicons and the dictionaries. In many cases, these men were not even saved.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
So now what you have are people who are unregenerate, they're not born again, and they hold to positions that are abhorrent to the Bible believer, that are abhorrent to God and His Word. And these men, their teaching comes through in their definitions. And then what Bible colleges do is they'll hand a young preacher one of those lexicons and say, here, correct your Bible with this. In the introduction to Thayer's lexicon, it says in Baker's edition, it tells us to be careful when we use it, because Thayer was a Unitarian, and his theology, his views come through both overtly and subtly in his work. Well, why in the world would I give that to a young preacher and then tell him correct God's word with it? We're in serious trouble if that's the way that we're going to teach our young men to revere God's word.
Yeah, it's really crazy. You know, it's interesting. I still talk to people that go to evangelical churches, and they will tell me, well, when I ask them about the Bible, say, do you believe the Bible's the word of God? Yes. Do you believe every word is true? Yes, I believe every word is true. Well, then I say, which one? End of conversation, you know, or they'll call me some kind of a name or something, you know.
What I like to ask them is this. If you have two books that both claim to be the word of God, and they say different things, logically, can they both be the word of God? Another question I like to ask, is it logically possible to make 30,000 insignificant changes in anything? Of course not. So you have two books, and of course now we have many more than two, but let's say that all we had were the NIV and the King James Bible. When you look at the difference in the two, logically speaking, there's no possible way that both of those books can be the Word of God. The problem is people do not believe in preservation. They simply do not believe it.
They've never been taught it.
That's right.
But it's in the Bible. I saw it before without anybody telling me, you know, just because I read the Bible. And if you know, our problem today is people are not systematically reading the Bible. So whatever sounds good, they follow, you know.
Well, you know, I agree 100%. And what I teach our church and in the meetings as I travel is this. One of the key problems that we have in our churches is that we have taught people to read the Bible devotionally as opposed to doctrinally. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to have devotions. We're told to read the Bible, study it, and submit to it. But we've not taught our people how to do that. And here's what it comes down to. This is what we get in testimony meetings. Let me tell you what this passage means to me. Well, what if you'd never been born? Does the passage now have no meaning? You see, when we communicate the Word of God, it doesn't matter what that passage means to me. What's important is what does that passage mean to God? What did He intend to communicate in that passage of Scripture? And because we've not taught them, like you said, to read the Bible in a systematic way, in a doctrinal way, that's why we have such great error in our churches. And I like this definition for doctrine. Doctrine is God's truth in God's words. And the reason that we lack this emphasis on doctrine in our churches is, I mentioned the NIV a minute ago, I think the word doctrine is used somewhere between 50 and 55 times in your King James Bible in the New Testament. In the NIV, it's only used four times. And we wonder why doctrine is lacking in our churches. See, these are very important issues.
Oh, yeah, the Bible says we're built up by the Word of God in doctrine. And doctrine is the systematic teaching of the Word of God. Pastor, we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back.
You're listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please contact us. Our email address is sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. And now let's return to more of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.
Okay, we have Pastor Alter with us, and he is giving us some wonderful information here. So we'll get back and talk to him once again. Now, you mentioned a couple things you want to bring up, so I'll let you just start on those right now.
Well, a couple of issues. The reason that I believe that God has preserved his word is because he promised to. And then when you obey God's promises, well, then God blesses you. So I think a good question to ask is, how does God bless people who, in the English language, hold to his word? Well, one way is by giving them greater insight into the word of God than those who would use another translation of the Bible. He does that through the consistency of translation of certain key words and phrases in the Bible. You were just speaking about the second coming of Christ and how we see that is so close. Well, by using a phrase in the Bible called the day of the Lord, he uses the day of the Lord and another phrase that he would use would be that day, referring to the day when Jesus Christ returns. He takes the believers off of the earth, and he begins dealing with the nation of Israel in the tribulation period. And that extends through the end of the millennium until he returns to judge Satan finally and ultimately at the great white throne judgment. So that day of the Lord, when you read that phrase, the day of the Lord, it is always dealing with either the tribulation period or primarily with the time of the millennium. So when you read a verse, whether it's in Zechariah 14:1 or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it doesn't matter if it's New Testament or Old Testament. That phrase, the day of the Lord, or that day, that great day, that is the time when Jesus Christ is going to come and judge this world in righteousness, rule and reign for 1,000 years. That's a built-in interpretive tool in your King James Bible that's lacking in the modern translations. A phrase like travail. The word travail, dealing with the birth of a child, in your Bible, it is always dealing with, there's always a reference to the tribulation period where God is judging the nation of Israel and working in them to choose him as their Lord and Savior and Messiah.
You know, that is so important what you're saying, because in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it says that the spiritual man compares spiritual things with spiritual.
That's so, exactly right, Brother Musselman. Exactly right.
You know, either using a concordance or using, they have computers now that do that. I have a friend that he can just put that word in, and it types out every verse in the scripture that uses that word in that direction, and that can really open up the Bible, but it has to be from the right Bible. You know, you mentioned about being in the Middle East, and that's wonderful. Were you in Lebanon or what?
I was in Lebanon. I was in Beirut, and then we were in a camp above Beirut, and I was training pastors from Iraq, Syria, Egypt, Sudan, and several other Muslim nations. And I was teaching them about this issue, about understanding the Bible. I was teaching them about Baptist doctrine and church doctrine, church history. And it was a great opportunity. It's so humbling when you see the sacrifices that these men make, and their wives, their families, in order to be able to be faithful to God's word. It's so humbling, because it's so easy to be faithful here.
Yeah, that's right.
It is very humbling.
You know, it made me think of this, but the main place the Palestinians come when they come to the United States is the west side of Cleveland. And so I've talked to a number of Muslims, and it's interesting that they say, you Christians have many Bibles, and we only have one. And my answer to that is, we only have one, too. It's called the King James. The rest of them are counterfeits. And I really believe that's true. Well, I want to remind you once again, we have a prophecy series that I've preached numbers of times. And we have that today. If you'd be interested in it, it's you can call 216-901-0933. 216-901-0933. And we'll get your name and your phone number. We'll talk to you. We're so glad, Pastor, that you take a stand on the Bible, you know. And I think of the Lord Jesus Christ. He never said a better reading is, this is an unfortunate translation or all that nonsense. He said, it is written. And if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll do the same thing. We'll quote it. We won't correct it. The Bible is to correct us. Well, you have a wonderful day, and God bless you, and you keep on fighting the fight.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.